This is Heather Varaich, and I want to thank you all for listening to the series of podcasts focused on the intersection of heart failure and palliative care. In this final episode of this series, I will be focusing on integrating palliative care for patients with LVADs. Many listeners might already know that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services actually require for palliative care to be provided to patients considering LVAD therapy even before they get the heart pump. But if you look at the fine print, that does not necessarily mean that every patient gets a palliative care consultation. It just means that some type of information about palliative care is provided to patients considering LVAD therapy. And while there are some centers that still have every patient considering an LVAD, particularly one getting it for destination therapy to get a palliative care consultation, many others simply just give some information about palliative care in written material form. Yet it is my belief that every patient who is receiving or considering a destination therapy LVAD should in fact get a specialty palliative care consultation, whether from a palliative care nurse or from a physician. Despite destination therapy meaning that the patient will have the device for the remainder of their life, understanding how a patient wants to live and eventually die is important to explore. Understanding what matters most to the patient regarding hopes for life and their goals of care with the device is critical, as well as gaining a deeper understanding of patients' knowledge base about what to expect going forward. While death is, in fact, the eventual end for patients with LVADs, it is important to focus on how patients will live as fully and able up to that point. Despite the vague mandate for palliative care involvement in LVAD-related care, it is important to consider palliative care more than as just a box to be checked off. Palliative care providers should understand that the goal of a palliative care consultation can vary from providing quality of life support to helping patients and family members cope with the ultimate finitude of all patients with DT-LVAD. Helping patients and family members appreciate that a time may come when the device may be working, but the body is failing, may be helpful to frame the discussion. It is also important for patients and family members to know that even though LVAD can increase survival in patients with advanced heart failure, it can change the trajectory that patients' lives may take. While worsening heart failure frequently defines the course of patients with advanced heart failure, those who undergo LVAD implantation are most commonly impacted by device complications. In one analysis conducted at the Mayo Clinic, about 10% of patients who undergo LVAD implantation experience an early postoperative death within the first 90 days. This is followed by about 20% of patients who have progressive organ failure, another 40% who improve considerably but then have a major complication, such as a stroke, and then about 30% of patients who experience extended stability followed by death. In the most recent randomized clinical trials of LVADs, most patients with LVADs die of right-sided heart failure. It is important for palliative care clinicians to note that medical therapies such as ACE inhibitors or beta blockers or other therapies that help lower blood pressure can actually help patients feel better and also reduce their risk of stroke, so there is value in continuing these medications as tolerated. A key piece of information that patients and caregivers should be made aware of before they get an LVAD is that very few medical facilities outside of acute care hospitals are actually experienced in taking care of patients with LVADs. This includes nursing homes, rehab facilities, hospice facilities, dialysis centers, and even smaller medical centers that may be closer to the patient's home. This can severely restrict access for patients after they get an LVAD, and should be a consideration for patients who don't have many facilities comfortable with managing LVADs close to where they live. Perhaps one of the more controversial areas of palliative and end-of-life care for patients with LVADs occurs when an LVAD has to be deactivated or decommissioned. This decision to turn off an LVAD can be very weighty for patients, caregivers, and the medical staff given how quickly patients tend to die after deactivation. Some clinicians may object to LVAD deactivation, conflating with aid in dying, even though they are in the minority. However, withdrawal of LVAD support was not found to raise ethical issues that differed from discontinuing ventilator or pacemaker support, for example. In LVAD deactivation, the cause of death is the underlying heart failure syndrome and not the act of deactivating the device. Although surveys suggest that not all clinicians are universally comfortable with LVAD deactivation, the reason for this discomfort is often the context of the deactivation rather than the procedure itself. Decisions regarding deactivation are simpler when LVAD patients have a concurrent terminal illness or conditions from which they will not recover. However, when clinicians are at odds as to whether a patient is indeed terminally ill, or when poor quality of life, psychological distress, or existential suffering lead to the decision to activate the LVAD, a greater sense of unease is usually found. Indeed, some patients have chosen to disconnect themselves from their LVAD at home, unfortunately without the support of hospice or appropriate symptom management strategies in place. Palliative care clinicians should work with heart failure teams to gain experience in deactivating commonly implanted LVADs when the need arises. It is important to anticipate symptoms of decreased cardiac output after LVAD withdrawal. Clinicians may consider bolusing medications such as diuretics and opioids to maintain dyspnea that may acutely worsen after deactivation. Diminished circulation may delay peak onset of these medications after deactivation, so prospective administration is advised. Patients may survive for a few minutes to a few days after LVAD deactivation, and longer in some very rare circumstances, based on anatomy and underlying heart function. This variability should be discussed before deactivation. Palliative care clinicians should also gain proficiency in deactivating alarms for LVADs in patients who are close to dying, given that these alarms can cause significant distress to patients and families. LVAD coordinators are an invaluable resource in helping to navigate this process. When a patient with an LVAD does make a request to deactivate or decommission the LVAD, it's important to ask them why and to dig deeper. Depression is common in patients with heart failure and can be more common in patients who receive LVADs. Severe depression with suicidality is a difficult situation given that patients have ready access to tamper with or deactivate their LVAD. Acute psychiatric treatment is challenging given that many facilities are not credentialed to care for patients with LVADs or associated comorbidities, thus mitigating distress in an anticipatory manner to prevent escalation is the real key. Palliative care providers often play a role in counseling or recommending pharmacotherapy. Sleep issues, anxiety, and PTSD are other mental health comorbidities for which palliative care clinicians can add value to improve symptom burden and quality of life. Yet all of this needs to be balanced with the fact that many patients actually have pretty good clinical outcomes associated with LVAD implantation. Given the practice and referral patterns of specialist palliative care providers, there may be a false notion that all patients with LVADs do clinically poorly, require ICU care, or need additional life-sustaining intervention. However, this is far from the case, and a diverse practice that includes outpatient clinics and embedded clinics with LVAD teams may help deal with systemic bias and outliers. Improved quality of life for a period of time was noted by 70% of decedents at 90 days for one cohort of patients with LVADs. It is important for clinicians to now recognize that the median survival of LVAD patients is improving, and that newer LVADs such as the HeartMate 3 have shown improvement in outcomes over prior generations, especially regarding lower pump thrombosis and stroke rates, so the discussions that we have with patients need to be flexible and iterative. But to truly give high-quality palliative care to LVAD patients, it's actually important to look beyond the patients themselves. Caregiver burden is underestimated greatly by those taking care of LVAD patients, and large gaps exist in this system to take care of them. Not only is LVAD care demanding, but also many LVAD recipients are older, with multiple comorbidities, including poor vision, hearing, and touch, which inhibit their ability to hear alarms, reach for them, care for their drive lines, and so on. Most sites require LVAD patients to have dedicated caregivers who help the patient manage the device, and in particular, the drive line. However, over time, burden eases as patients and their loved ones become more adept at various aspects of the disease and as the clinical condition improves. Therefore, assessing social support in an ongoing manner is a critical aspect of pre-implantation discussions and is essential if patients are to have a good outcome. If possible, having multiple caregivers can help lessen the risk of burnout versus a single caregiver. In addition, having respite systems in place could be beneficial, but these are not ubiquitous or required. One way to prepare both caregivers and patients for LVADs and their complications and the natural history of these devices might be done through better communication. One thing that could be done is perhaps by borrowing the language of cancer. Complications of LVAD therapy, such as infection, stroke, and bleeding, can be framed as complications of chemotherapy. Development of right-sided heart failure can be thought of as progression of the underlying disease. The development of aortic insufficiency, which can lead to redundant flow, can be framed as mutation of the disease, which may require surgery by oversawing the aortic valve or adjustment in LVAD speed, or implantation of a transcatheter aortic valve. And worsening end organ dysfunction or development of heart failure symptoms can be considered failure of therapy. Such language can be used to explain the course of LVAD therapy in ways that patients can grasp and is more comfortable for palliative care clinicians who might be much more well-versed at providing palliative care in patients with cancer rather than heart failure. So LVADs, especially as destination therapy, are increasingly being used for patients with advanced heart failure. While palliative care providers are often called to see LVAD patients for whom the clinical course has gone poorly, LVADs and other advanced therapies are helping many advanced heart failure patients live longer, better quality lives. Palliative care can offer tremendous value to patients considering LVADs, particularly by facilitating discussions between patients and their families about what matters most and exploring what physical states would be unacceptable to patients. Treating troubling physical and psychological symptoms, providing emotional and practical support for caregivers, and lessening the suffering of dying patients are all ways that palliative care can improve care for patients with LVADs. Before I end this podcast series, I would like to thank the American College of Cardiology for giving me the opportunity to talk about something that I'm extremely passionate about. And as far as the listeners are concerned, the conversation doesn't end here. Please find me at Twitter at Heather Varaich, and let's keep talking and thinking about how best we can integrate palliative care for patients with heart failure. Thank you very much.